something going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckers put it in the win column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get it going. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk from Crypto.com Arena in downtown Los Angeles. This hour is underway. It's Pat Steinberg, Aaron Vickers with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit Calgary Lock and Safe.com. Let's say hello to Mr. Vickers, first of all. Hello, Vix.
Hey, buddy. How's it going down there?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here at Crypto.com. It's going to be a fun Thursday night when the Flames take on the LA Kings. It's game 82, and we've got not one, not two, not three, but four solo laps for the Flames in this game. Zane Parekh, Hunter Brustevich on the back. It'll be Idar Suniev and Sam Morton at forward, all making their NHL debuts. It's an exciting night for the Flames, and that'll be a good time to say hello to the general manager of the Calgary Flames. Craig Conroy joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar Podcast hotline right now. Hello, Mr. Conroy. How are you?
I'm good, Pat. How are you doing? How's everyone doing?
Doing well. We're doing well. We appreciate you doing this on a game day. And look, I know that things have ended sooner than you'd like, and you were hoping to be playing past this game, but this is a pretty exciting night for the organization nonetheless, isn't it? Seeing these four guys, four big hopeful pieces of the future, getting into the NHL for the first time.
It really is. I mean, you know, I'm in Calgary. You know how excited they are about the young players, and they've been dying to see these guys in a game. And obviously, you know, our goal was to make this push to get in the playoffs. I mean, and so proud of the team, how they just kind of I couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, obviously, we would have liked a little help, and we didn't get it, but we didn't. We made some mistakes along the way. But now to be able to see these four guys and to see, you know, as hard as this game might be to play, when you see those four guys in the locker room and their excitement, and then all the veterans kind of rally around that too, because they remember what their first game's like. So I expect the team's going to come out flying tonight.
Let's start with Zane, Craig. He's the highest pick you've had since taking the job as general manager, and he'll make his NHL debut here against the Kings. What's the anticipation level for you in getting a chance to see Zane in the NHL for the first time?
You know, I think the one thing is just how does he handle the pace? How does he handle the size of the guys? And, you know, even in practice, I mean, you and I were sitting there watching APAT. He moves the puck so well. He's so elusive. He sees the ice, the cross ice passes. When he shoots it, he's just got this real deception about him. So that offensive instinct's there. So you want him to go out. And that's the one thing. We don't want to take any of that offense away from him. You know, he's got to do what makes him a special player. And that's be creative, offensive. And I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, out there in a real NHL game against a real good Kings team.
Yeah, the opportunity to see him, while we were sitting there as they were coming on the ice, I yelled over you and said, "Is he going to be playing with Kevin Ball in this game?" And you said, "Yep." And I said, "Okay, that's awesome. That's exactly who I'm most excited to see him play with, because I think there's a real good potential for Ball and Parekh to be a pairing long term here. How much fun do you think that'll be, seeing Ball and Parekh and seeing the chemistry between those two?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think you know, when you look at, they both have what they do well, I think is when they come together is going to be a great pairing. You know, I do see that being a long term fit moving forward. So I just want Baller to talk a little bit more to him out there. I don't think he said anything all morning skate. He might need a little help is what I'm, you know. So we'll see how it goes. But I think that's going to be a fun pairing to watch tonight for sure.
Craig, this might be a question for all four, but I just want to focus specifically on Zane with this. How much do you want him to take this experiment and use it as a barometer or a measuring stick for where his game's at? Learning experience, if you will, so he knows exactly what's in store for him this fall.
Yeah, you know, this is invaluable for him to be able to play in all four guys. You're right, it's not just one. And to gauge themselves, you know, these guys are now playing against NHL players that are gearing up for you know, whoever plays tonight is going to be gearing up for the playoffs tomorrow. So they're going to be at their best, and they want to go in, you know, on a high, and they're going to come to win. So for them to see what it's like, the pace, the physicality, you know, the time and space they think they have, but they're not going to have, is going to be great. And then they know, hey, in the summer when we go, this is what I got to improve on. This is what I get better at, you know. So they'll be more prepared for, you know, I think even Zane just coming to camp this year and all the guys, they'll be more prepared now after this game going into next year's camp and have an idea what they need to do.
This might be more a question for September, but for Zane in particular, how much does that CHL-NHL transfer agreement kind of throw a wrench or limit his development plan a little bit?
Well, I mean, he's got to, you know, we all know he's got to either play in the CHL or he's got to play in the NHL. So I want him, you know, definitely my idea or what I'm hoping, but I don't want to, you know, put the cart before the horse is, you know, you want him to play. I mean, I don't know what more he could possibly do in the CHL. Yep. But I don't want to put him in a situation where he's not ready to play in the NHL. So it's one of those, you know, rules that maybe you wish you could change a little bit where he could play in the American League, but it isn't. So those are the only two options we have. And, you know, I think tonight's going to give us a, you know, I'm not going to say this game's going to say he's going to play next year or not. It's just good to see kind of where he slots in at this point.
We're chatting with Craig Conroy, Calgary Flames general manager. Connie, why of the other D-men who you could have been looking at, why was Hunter Brustevich the guy that you felt was deserving of this opportunity? Why was he the guy you recalled and decided to put in this game? What about his season and his game made him the right choice for your group?
You know, I think the one thing that we looked at, Hunter had a little bit of a slow start down there, especially point-wise, but really the second, you know, the last 60 games, he really has been about a half a point in a game. And for a guy that's his age, a 20-year-old, that's not easy in the American League. And he's really taken steps and gotten better. And as much as I would love to give all those guys an opportunity, and, you know, we just felt like in his development at this time, he earned an opportunity to come up here and play in this game. And I think it's going to be great for him also. I mean, just to see the pace, see everything that's going on. I mean, that's the one thing with Hunter. He reads the play. He can make a great first pass, but we want to see him. He's going to have to get his pace up doing that, especially at this level. So I think he was able to take those steps in the American League. Now we get him in this first game. And again, like you said, you let him go home in the summer knowing, okay, I know what I got to do. I'm going to have to really buckle down and work on certain parts of my game, but that's where I want to be. I want to be in the NHL next year.
How, and you talked a little bit about it, kind of a slowish start, but how much have you seen him grow, and where are the areas that you've seen some big growth in Hunter's game?
Well, I think the way he reads the game and his patience at the blue line and poise with pucks where guys are almost on him, and you don't see it very often in young guys, even in the American League, where he can hang on to it. I'm like, whoa, I get a little nervous sometimes, but he always seems to make the right play. You know, outlet passes, he got so much better going back quicker. He didn't have as much time. So to be able to go back, get puck, and get him moving, you know, you really saw a big difference. And then just the overall plays in the offensive zone. He knew, okay, I got to get here. I got to get my shot. I need to move into these positions. And just the way he hit holes and jumped and seized the ice, it just continually improved over the course of the year. So, you know, now he's going to have to continue to do that as he moves forward into the NHL. But you really saw a nice progression, and I'm really excited to see him tonight here too.
Craig, what kind of defenseman does he profile as at the NHL level? And has that changed, or have you had to modify expectations at all since he joined the organization about 15 months ago?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing, he reads plays, excellent, like I said, excellent puck mover, has offense ability, can play in your power play, can play, you know, I think he can actually PK too, because he's just so smart, just the way he reads, kind of like Jonathan Huberdeau. I wouldn't say that would be his specialty in my mind, but I think he could do it moving forward to get him more ice time, to get him, you know, as he moves into the NHL, and just, like the skating and pace, we're going to need him to pick it up a little bit, but it has improved, you know. And if we keep seeing that steady improvement, kind of reminds me a little bit when I first saw him down in the American League this first year is Rasmus Anderson. If I had to make kind of comparison, I think if you went and looked at maybe the point totals. I'll have to go back now. I haven't, but see kind of where they fell into line. But I do see some Rasmus. Rasmus might have had more of an edge, but I think this guy might read the play a little bit quicker than Rasmus did at the same time.
Rasmus Anderson had 22 points in 54 games in his first season with the Stockton Heat, and we all know Hunter's at 31 points in 69 games in his first season.
Pretty close,
hey?
So, yeah, you know, he's a little bit ahead of him, actually. I knew it would be similar. Yep. I actually couldn't remember exactly what Rasmus had that first year, but we were very happy with Rasmus's first year. So, you know, I guess that just tells you Hunter, like, he's a little bit ahead maybe where Rasmus was point-wise for sure, which is great to hear.
Craig, this might be a tough question to answer because defensemen can be so tricky, and having extra time in the American Hockey League is rarely a bad thing for them. But what sort of timeline are we talking about with Hunter, do you think?
You know, it's up to him. I mean, that's really the key. You know, it does seem to take defensemen a little bit longer and goalies even longer than that. So, you know, forwards seem to get a little bit of a break. They can jump in because they got those layers behind them if they do make mistakes. And so, you know, I could see Hunter pushing next year. You know, it'll be up to him, though. He's got to come, and like we always said, just come and take a job. Take a jersey. You know, the young guys are the future here, and our older guys are great for these young guys to learn from. So, you know, if he continues to progress the way he has, I can see him playing the NHL sooner than later, for sure.
Not bad on the not bad at all on the Rasmus Hunter. That's almost bang on in terms of points per game. That was that makes you look pretty smart, Connie.
Well, I actually thought Rasmus had 30 that year, so I was a little off, to be honest. I didn't know how many Hunter has this year.
It's been a nice growth year for Hunter. I'm excited to see him in this game here as well. We're talking to Craig Conroy, Flames GM. When we talk about Idar Suniev, what excites you about him? I remember how excited you were at the draft in Nashville when you were able to get him. That was the pick that came from the Tyler Toffoli trade about a day or two prior. I just remember how jacked up you were about being able to get Suniev into the organization. Now that he's been with the group for a couple of years, like what excites you so much about this player?
Well, you know, the one thing I when I watch him, he's a natural goal scorer. But then I was sitting there when we were watching in that, you know, today him moving the puck around on the power play, he made so many good passes. You know, fake shot pass backdoor to Coleman when he was behind the net. I don't know if you remember, saw it, Pat. Like, I thought he was going out to Parekh at the point. He hit Coleman again right back door. Nobody thought that was good. So I start seeing him make plays like that, and with his shot, it was I don't know how it's going to look in an actual real game tonight, but I thought that power play was snapping it around, and really, they scored every time it was their turn to go at one end. The puck was in the back of the net more than once, so that's a great sign. But I just think he sees the ice so well. He reads it, has a good shot, and his skill, his hands and skill set are their high end. You know, you see him tip pucks around in practice. I hate putting this out there because people say, what? You know, the expectations will be too much. But if you watch him, he would look a little bit like when Matthew Tkachuk just got here, a little bit the way he skates, a little bit the way he handles his hands, the way he tips pucks around the net and makes plays. But, you know, obviously, you know, I just, in a way, they kind of look similar. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on the player.
Yeah.
But and it's just a shot. He comes down. He has when he holds it, hides it. You know, a couple times in practice, you think, oh, he's going to shoot high. Oh, five hole. You know, he's very deceptive with his shot, and he goes to those areas. For him, it's going to be time and space. If he's going to find out how quick it is here, and how little time you have, so he's just going to have to learn that. But it's just going to take some time. But I'm really excited about, you know, Idar and the future with the Flames here.
Well, and when you take a look at that frame, Craig, like it feels like he could add some as he just continues to mature. Feels like there's some impressive size, or not so much size, but strength that he could add to that frame, hey?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know what, you could tell. The one thing about college, you get to lift more. Like, he's strong. He's strong already. I mean, I think he's 211 or 212 right now, and he looks thin, but he looks strong, you know? So I think he's got a frame where, you know, he probably, you know, even when we talk to our, you know, our people internally, we'd like him to get stronger. I think the weight's perfect. If we could keep him at that, but just get him some more muscle and strength, I think if he played 215 or 210, he's going to feel great. But if he can get stronger, he's going to be a real, because even in practice, you see when guys go one-on-one in the corner, they can't get the puck away from him. You know, I think they're a little surprised how strong he is on pucks, and he has a little bit of edge. I mean, if you've watched him in college, he'll take some runs at guys. He's a little semi-dirty, kind of like Matthew, that I like it, but you know, he's just got to watch what he does and not take too many penalties.
Craig, you touched on the excitement from draft day. How important was it to get Suniev under contract coming out of his sophomore season at UMass, where he had 20 goals and 38 points in 35 games?
Yeah, you know, I think the one thing we both felt, he wanted to come and turn pro, and for us, we wanted to get him in the system as quick as possible. So, you know, it was important. You know, we talked about maybe not burning the year, and in the end, we felt like, for us to get him in here, to get him going, and to really get our hands on him was the right thing for us, because we want to go and take that next step with him. And for him to be here, the one thing I could say, he's the first one on the ice. He's the first one in the gym every morning, and he's got a really good work ethic. And I'm excited about the player. But to have him here a year earlier, I was thinking maybe it was going to be one more year. But, you know, like I said, 20 goals and 38 points. And his mindset was he wanted to turn pro. He was ready, and that's what we agreed with him. So it worked out great for both sides.
Craig, let's finish on Sam Morton, who's been a really nice success story in the year or so he's been in the organization. Take us back to last spring when your group brought him into the organization after his time at Minnesota State. What did you see in Sam then that made it that you wanted to bring this guy into the Flames?
Sam, the one thing that I always remember was he'd be on the third line in Minnesota State, because I was doing college hockey that year. I wasn't doing it last year, but every time I saw him, and he ended up by the end of the game on the first line in key situations, he's playing all those, you know, he'd chip in offense, and he just, you watch him, he just worked hard. He made things happen. You watch him, you think, you know what? This is a guy you can win with. And to be able to have him come to Calgary, and even this year when he came in at training camp, he was in exceptional shape. I mean, I thought he was one of the top guys in testing, and that really set the tone for his whole year. You know, there were some lulls, and there's going to be, because as a college player, I know how it is. You go from playing 30 games. My first year, I went from 30, I think, to like 70. I'm like, with playoffs and everything, I couldn't believe it. So I knew there would be some ups and downs, but his conditioning definitely put him there. But you can put him in any situation and rely on him to do the right thing and make the right play and help your team win. And he's played excellent, especially probably the last 15 games for us. He's been maybe our best forward. Him and Ferk have really taken over. So to get him in a game tonight, well-deserved. And, you know, I saw the four of them stretching in the hall in the morning. I'm like, I've never seen four guys in first time, so I don't know how they're going to do it tonight. So I'm looking forward to seeing if they come out one at a time or how it works.
Did you do a rookie lab? Like that didn't exist when you debuted, did it?
No, I did not. I was thinking about my game today, thinking about the guys. I was in Hartford in the mall. I don't know if anyone knows, because when we pulled up, I'm like, we're at the mall? Like, what's going on? I had no clue. So it was pretty special. But no, I did not do a rookie lap. They didn't do it back then.
Yeah. Just a last thought for you, Craig, and appreciate the time. And I know that there's a game to play, and then you've got your exit interviews coming up. But how happy are you with how this group has continued to get younger, and how now in two seasons at the helm you've been able to make this group gradually a whole lot more young? Would you say that you're pretty mission accomplished in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, that was a goal coming in. I think at the first press conference, we talked about young players coming in, playing prominent roles, and that's how we're going to get better if we're going to. And, you know, I can't thank leadership group there enough. You know, I mean, I think, and Lomberg's in there. Lomberg coming in has made an unbelievable difference in that locker room, just the presence that he has and the passion. But with all of these guys, I mean, you see what, you know, there's unknowns. It's going to be an up and down year. Wolf's a young goalie. He's come in and done a great job for us. And then, you know, obviously, you know, tonight, Coronado, hopefully he would get his 25th goal. Like, but to have 24 in his first full year, and he just gets more and more confident. I'm excited about that. I feel bad for Zari with a couple injuries, but you see those flashes. I think back to the first goal in overtime. What a play by Zari for that skill, and we're going to get him back healthy. And then, you know, Martin Postlis will finish in checks, doing his thing. You know, I think I felt he was a little snake bit offensively this year. I know he's got more, and I'm going to expect more.
Did we lose Craig there?
Oh, can you hear me?
There we go. Okay. Yeah, we got you back. We got you back. I just wasn't sure. Okay. Yep, we got you back now. Absolutely. Okay.
Okay. So where was I?
That's great, man.
Yeah.
I think it was actually on my end. I think we had technical issues on our end. So that's my bad. I should have just kept my mouth shut. It was all me. It's always Steinberg's fault. Good stuff. Really appreciate the time, Craig. Thank you so much. And sorry for cutting off your last answer. I didn't know I was doing that. You be well. Enjoy seeing the four debuts tonight. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Excellent. I didn't want to leave out Klapka. You know, that's the one thing I know guys hear stuff. So Klapka has had a great run and really put himself in an unbelievable spot. You know, in big moments down the stretch, we need him. So I wanted to make sure, you know, I put him out there too as one of the young guys.
Absolutely. How about Nas centering him and Idar in this game, hey?
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I mean, I think they're probably a little nervous because Nas is demanding out there, but it's going to be great. I think it's going to be so much fun. And I think, like I said, those young guys playing, as disappointing as it was the other night and as disappointing even the plane ride yesterday in, to see their excitement, I think it gave a boost to the veteran guys here. So it's going to be a real good night for us. I expect us to come out and play really well.
That's awesome. Well, enjoy it, Craig. Really appreciate the time. We'll see you after the game, but really, thanks for doing this. And we're looking forward to it as well.
Okay. Thanks, Pat. Bye, Aaron. You guys have a great night.
You too. Thank you, Connie. That is Craig Conroy. He is the general manager of the Calgary Flames, and he joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline on this Thursday. Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you on this Thursday edition of Flames Talk. And it's Steinberg here at Crypto.com Arena as they are going heavy on the bagpipes, getting ready for this. It feels like the Stampede Parade. But we've got me at Crypto.com. Vic's back at our Groundworks downtown studio. It's a Thursday, which means it's time to check in with our goaltending expert. It's time to say hello to Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. Mr. Woodley, how are we doing on this Thursday, my friend?
We're doing I won't tell you how fast we're going, but we're rolling into Kamloops here on our way to Calgary. And what's this? I understand now for the second visit in a row, you guys had snow today while I'm on my way to your beautiful city.
It was just a little flurry. We're fine. We got blue skies right now. You'll survive.
Yeah, I'm soft, boys. West Coast soft.
That I know.
We've established that.
Just before we jump in on some of the topics today, you're coming in for a pretty cool partnership. What's happening?
Yeah, actually, with Hockey Alberta. Hockey Alberta's partnered with In Goal Magazine. They run a really good elite program provincially. It's funny because, you know, even on our program, I've been a little bit critical when we got into the Four Nations talking about, you know, Canadian goaltending and some of the shortcomings nationally of the development program for goaltenders and some of the issues that's caused. Boy, has it been an eye-opener to see how good the program is that they're doing. You know, you heard me talk about USA Hockey and the efforts there. a lot of things in Alberta that are similar, educating volunteer coaches so that when they're on the ice with goalies at different ages, they've got a resource, somebody that's familiar with, you know, sort of best practices and what types of instructions, and the goalies aren't just sort of they're doing a really great job with goalie development at a bunch of different ages and with goalie coaches. And so the partnership with us will be to get subscriptions for, I think it's like 600 goalies in their elite programs at multiple ages. Obviously, In Goal Magazine, like, we're a media company, but for the most part, what we're trying to be is a development tool. We never try and be something that tells you what to do. Like, hey, this is the way to do it. There is no one right way. We're just always kind of trying to bring different tools, different ideas from different voices all over the world to one format. And so Hockey Alberta wants their goalies to have access to that. And so we've entered a partnership that will allow that. And as part of the goalies getting subscriptions through Hockey Alberta, all their volunteer goalie coaches and their coach development people get a subscription as well, so they can keep up with, you know, what's going on at the NHL and all those kind of things. So it's an exciting partnership, and we're happy to come to one of their elite camps this weekend to kick it off.
That's very cool. Very cool. So as the Flames get set to play Game 82 of their regular season, Dustin Wolf gets the night off. He will not wrap up the regular season. So it'll be 53 starts as a rookie for Dustin Wolf, Kev. And we've talked about him all year. Every week we've asked something and had some sort of conversation, it feels like, about Dustin. But now that we know, 53 starts as a rookie in the NHL, you've been throwing at us the impressive numbers all year long. How do we wrap up the rookie campaign for Dustin?
I mean, for rookie goaltenders, it's you know, typically you break in and you're in a backup role, right? Like, that's the progression. I watched it here in Vancouver with Corey Schneider and Roberto Luongo. You know, like, the first game you might get 20 starts. And obviously it's different now with more job sharing, but you might get 20 starts in the first year. In the second year, you know, maybe it's up to 25, but bigger starts and bigger moments. And that was widely considered the route for him to come in at this age as a rookie and not just be a starter and play 53 games, but to finish, you know, I don't think there's anyone on the list who's going to pass him tonight. I haven't looked at the starters around the league, but right now fifth in the National Hockey League in goals saved above expected. That's like, I can't tell you how impressive that is, right? We just don't see it very often. And so there, for all the accolades we've given him throughout the season, and I know the season is ending earlier than they had hoped, but the role he played in that, the pressure he was under, dealing with learning to manage your body as well as your game at the National Hockey League level, where you don't have as much rest. It's, you know, it's not the American League where it's a weekend league. There are so many different parts of that learning curve, and there'll probably be things that he'll still have to learn next year and continue to evolve. But as I've said to you, you know, pretty much since we started before he was in the NHL, he's always a guy that's looking for, you know, the next way to get better. And so that work has paid off this season. Things that he'll have learned that he'll be better for next year. Remarkable consistency. Yeah, there was a couple of dips there in March. But to finish where he's finished this year tells you that it's never dipped too far. And even the numbers before Four Nations and after Four Nations, I think I looked it up, he's like plus 1.2% on the season. And since Four Nations, he's at plus 1% in terms of adjusted save percentage. You know, again, both of those in the top 10. So it's not like he's fallen off where even other goaltenders around the league have since the Four Nations.
So as we look forward to year two now for Dustin Wolf, and we'll see, maybe he goes to the World Championships, maybe he doesn't for Team USA, but now what are some of the challenges now to look out for as Dustin prepares for year two? What are some of the things that he might run into as a sophomore NHL player?
Well, certainly there's not going to be any nights where they don't know you're coming. Teams will have built the better book. They will have, you know, they will pay more attention to that pre-scout, both because the Flames have been competitive all season and because of the role he played in it. So if there are any weaknesses, real or perceived, teams are going to go after him. That's one thing that can happen as you get into your second year. Typically, though, like, in some ways, not going to the playoffs might be a bit of a break. Like, at no point does a goaltender's game get picked apart like it does in the playoffs, and teams go to school on that. We saw with Artur Shelobs here last year, right? Comes in against Edmonton, starts with a ton of success in tight, down, low, so athletic, and then the Oilers sort of figure out, hey, he hasn't figured out traffic. increase what they're throwing at the net from the point by like, you know, fivefold in the final four games of the series and win. What happens in the first game of the regular season the next year? The Flames specifically target traffic and shots from the point. So, you know, not going to the postseason will keep him out of that spotlight, but the year he's had will ensure it's bright enough that, you know, teams are going to target specific things. I think for the most part, though, that second year as a goalie, it's about taking the next step and playing more games. And yet, because he played so many already this season, I don't know that that's something you worry about. Like, yeah, there's lessons, but he's probably already learned them. The biggest thing is no complacency. And everything I know about this kid says there won't be any. As a matter of fact, you know, I know like there's already some plans to see some coaches and some specialists here in the interior over the summer. Like he's not a young goaltender who is going to just be like, yeah, I made it, I'm done. That happens, but I don't see it happening with Dustin Wolf.
Kev, there could be some question about who his partner is next season. Dan Vladar gets a start in game 82, and he's a pending unrestricted free agent. What's the outlook look like on him heading into the offseason?
Kind of curious to see which way this goes myself. I don't have any insights or any insider tips on that one. Wouldn't be surprised. You know, and again, you know, due to the changing expectations of the team in terms of how competitive they were this year and what they think they'll look like next year, do they shift that focus? I always thought that the plan was, you know, again, nobody articulated it to me, but sort of reading the tea leaves, that the plan was to, you know, have Cooley for a year in the American Hockey League and see if he's ready to make that step next year. It leaves you with less experience in the NHL for sure. But very curious to see whether sort of the shift in expectations around the Flames this year, do they feel like they want somebody more proven? Do they look at bringing back Dan Vladar, or are they comfortable with going to Cooley and Wolf as a tandem next year? Well, again, no inside information there. Like everyone, I'm kind of curious to see which way this goes.
I ask this kind of generally, and I'm certainly not asking you to speak on Dan Vladar's half, but how do you weigh the comfort of a situation you're currently in versus maybe getting more of an opportunity elsewhere?
You know what? Only he can answer that. I think the fact that he knows what this is in Calgary and what will, like, I saw this happen in Vancouver when Thatcher Demko was emerging, where veteran backups came in expecting to play a lot. We saw it with Braden Holtby. We saw it with Yaroslav Halak. They didn't realize how good Thatcher Demko was, what that trajectory was like. And so they ended up playing a lot less than they expected, than they hoped, and moved on after 1 year. And so that desire to have upward mobility for a lot of goalies, and Vladar is certainly in that age range where he probably believes he's capable of more than he played this season. And he had some great games down the stretch, some important games against some really tough opponents down the stretch that maybe reinforces that for him. He wouldn't be the first goalie, let's put it that way, to move on because the upward mobility is, you know, he plays a year with a guy, sees how good he is, and realizes that there's not going to be that same level of upward mobility by staying put. And again, haven't talked to him. To be honest, one of those guys that I haven't had a chance to talk to much over the years and haven't had a chance to build a relationship with. So I'm not sure where his mindset on that, but he wouldn't be the first guy to think in those terms. And then the question becomes, you know, where do those opportunities emerge for him? You know, if you look at, if it's a team like San Jose, do you see that as a positive to play more, or are you worried about what that looks like because of the team they are and still maybe one with some growing pains left to come? And so you got to weigh all those things, and I'm sure he will if he makes it to the open market. And, you know, sometimes whether that contract, not just money, but term as well, can you find a place where you're there for multiple years and you can settle in? And as I said, kind of curious to see this way this one all shakes out. A lot of goalies were normally in that annual game of like crazy musical chairs for goalies. A lot of guys re-up this year, so there are fewer seats to be had, but also fewer legitimate established options to go around.
Yeah, you kind of just stole my next question there, and it might be tough to answer the question on Thursday, April 17th, but do you see the options being relatively limited, not specifically for Dan Vladar, but just for pending unrestricted free agent goalies in general?
I mean, to a degree, and yet, you know, like, I've really paid more attention at the upper end, like a lot of the high-end guys that we thought might be legit number ones on the open market. You think of like a Blackwood that re-signs. There's a handful like that. But we've seen it's a tandem league. And so, you know, being a backup, it's not like the old days where the backup would play 12 games, right? And you were like a bullpen catcher almost. You know, now you're looking at 25 or more games. And I think the importance of that for a number of teams where maybe they don't have, even if you have a workhorse, you still need a quality backup option. And so there's still going to be teams looking for that, maybe looking to upgrade in some cases. In other cases, guys moving on for bigger roles. They'll be up, you know, I mean, his old friend Jacob Markstrom might be looking for a playing partner next year. Jake Allen's going to be the cream of the crop in this unrestricted free agent market. Are the Devils an option for him where, you know, yes, Jacob Markstrom's clearly the number one guy, but you go in there, you have a relationship with the starter, and the reality is health is an issue, has been an issue. Goalies look at that. They look at the playing partner. You know, Kevin Lankinen chose the Vancouver Canucks as an unrestricted free agent this summer because he knew there were questions, or in part because he knew there were questions about Thatcher Demko. So you guys weigh that, right? Like, hey, this guy hasn't made it through a season healthy in 4 years. I might get a chance to play here. So there's a lot of different factors that go into it, Aaron. I think the fact that every team feels like they need depth means that even with a lot of the number ones locked up, there'll still be opportunities around the league.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com as we continue along this hour on Flames Talk. Kev, you wanted to talk a little bit. I know that Columbus won't end up making the playoffs, and Montreal was able to punch their ticket on Wednesday night. But what about this story of Jet Greaves and what he was able to do for the Blue Jackets down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, just an unreal performance by him. You know, pretty much since he came up and this season on a whole, you know, he's at plus 4.6 expected save percentage differential. And to put that into context, over every 100 shots, he's saving them 4.5 goals. So roughly every three games, he's saving them 4 goals, between 4 and 5 goals. Like, that's unheard of numbers. That's last time we saw a goalie anywhere near that. You're talking like Igor Shesterkin for Hart Trophy. And it also means it's probably not realistic to maintain that because nobody does, right? And nobody's sitting there going, hey, like, this is the next coming of Dominic Hasek. But he's on a hell of a heater. And when you look at the previous two seasons, again, small samples, but in each of those seasons, he, and in those two seasons combined, number one in the NHL in adjusted save percentage. His 3 years in the league, again, tiny sample, but number one in the NHL total adjusted save. So I guess my point is it wasn't just this year. Every time he gets called up, and there's been some nights in there, really low expected, tough environment. He's been thrown to the wolves. I think his first game in the NHL was against the Maple Leafs, and they lost the game, but he was brilliant seeing 40. I might have even been 50 that night. So he's had some nights like that. But I do wonder, like, what, there's a little bit of me that's like, why'd you wait so long? And I know people are sort of asking that question because there was a track record there of success. And, you know, Elvis Merzlikins gave him some really good starts for a stretch there, but it kind of fell off. And so I know they're in a challenge with Tarasov. They believe he's an NHL goalie. Injuries prevented him from playing enough early in his career, and they were worried they'd lose him on waivers. I think next year Jet requires them, and they should be worried about that as well. And, to tie this into Dustin Wolf, I get the sense that one of the things that maybe has held him back in terms of he keeps performing and then doesn't get the opportunities as soon as you might think based on those statistics is size. I mean, he's a 6-foot goaltender, but I would hope that as we see success like this, as we see Wolf has success at the NHL level over a prolonged period, that maybe teams become more willing to give shots to those guys, especially in a league where the ability to skate, the ability to move against all this east-west play and east-west traffic, and the way the game's become so dynamic laterally, guys that can skate have a chance, even if they are just 6 feet. And it's nice to see Greaves sort of following in Wolf's footsteps and showing what he can do. And like kind of like Calgary, same situation. I really wish they'd had a chance for a win in your end tonight, just to sort of finish off great seasons for both guys.
Just quickly before we wrap up, and obviously over the next number of weeks when we bring you on, we'll be talking lots of playoff hockey, and neither of the two teams that we cover firsthand will be in the postseason this year. But when you take a look at some of the Western Conference goaltending matchups or goaltending situations, anything that really jumps to mind for you when it comes to intrigue or things that you'll be watching?
Well, as I head into Alberta here in the next couple of hours, depending on how fast we drive, you know, the Edmonton-LA series is interesting. I think a lot of people assume that Darcy Kemper is a product of the environment in LA. That environment got a little looser this year. Kemper actually leads the NHL in goals saved above expected by Clearside Analytics numbers. A full goal and a half better, believe it or not, actually 2.5 goals better than Connor Hellebuyck. He's been really good for them this season, and obviously we know the questions around Stuart Skinner. Liked how he looked in his first couple coming off the concussion, maybe a break and a reset as much as you never want it to be surrounding a head injury. Maybe that's what Stuart Skinner needed. Maybe the Oilers can get back to the defensive identity that allowed him to have success and get them to a Stanley Cup final last year. But the way Darcy Kemper's playing, like if this becomes a goalie battle, at least statistically based on the regular season, the edge goes heavily in favor of the LA Kings. And so that's one worth watching. The other thing I'm watching around the league is, do we see tandems? I don't think we're going to have any straight back and forths, but you know, Stolarz has gotten back to form in the last couple of weeks, like he had early in the season before the surgery. So I'm guessing he's going to be the number one guy, but he's never been an every second night guy for weeks on end. So are you brave enough to spell him 4 games in, depending on where the series sits, for a Joseph Woll so that you know you have him for multiple series? Or do you play him into the ground? And that's the sort of asterisk that comes with this trend towards tandems around the league. These guys are in job shares all year, but the desire for head coaches, and Craig Berube talked about it in Toronto, to have just one guy in the playoffs. We saw it with Boston a couple of years ago, back and forth all season, Ullmark and Swayman, and then, we have to have one guy in the playoffs. And then when it starts to falter, because that guy hasn't done it all year, why would you expect him to successfully do it at the end of the year when the pressure ramps up? If you wait too long, the other guy hasn't played in a week, which is something he hasn't done all year. So you know, I'm curious to see Carolina with Freddie Anderson. He finished the season fantastic. They did this last year. Came off the blood clot, was the best goalie statistically from that to the end of the season, well splitting time and getting his rest. They hit the playoffs, they rolled them out there every second night, and they got into diminishing returns before the end of the first round. So I know that it is risky. I know that coaches don't like to take those risks because the narratives, like bulletin board material, you change goalies at the wrong time and lose a game, it's on you. But we've seen it not work the other way in both those examples I just cited. So I'm curious to see how many coaches are willing to be brave and mix in their backup if they see signs of fatigue in their starter, and rather than asking their starter to do something they haven't asked them to do all season.
Great stuff as always, Kev. Drive safe the rest of the way. Hey, we'll talk to you once the playoffs are underway next week.
Yeah, hey, and do me a favor, see if we can talk to whoever's in charge of the weather there and keep the flakes to a minimum this weekend. Like I said, fully admitted, West Coast soft.
I think you'll be okay based on what I'm hearing. So, thanks, Kev. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it, man.
Have a good one tonight, guys. Thanks.
That's Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Serving the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs for over half a century. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. As we start to wrap things up this hour, Aaron Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll do it for the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.